I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show. Thanks as well to Craig Heiss for that update. So there are a couple of veterans who were playing this weekend who could be available on the QB market for quarterback needy teams this offseason, like Washington. And you know, Danny, we're going to be overturning every stone as this offseason goes along as we try to find Washington a quarterback for the future. We know that Taylor Heinicke will likely be here. He will be the second quarterback on the depth chart, hopefully. Likely their backup. Is their starter a player they draft at number 11? Maybe that's Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett or Sam Howell. Is their starter someone they trade for before that, and then they're able to use that pick on somebody to help that quarterback on offense or defense, try to win more football games for this team? But the veteran market is bleak, and a couple of the names that have come up a bunch are Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, and we saw both of them play this weekend. So I figured we could start with Jimmy G, because he's still playing. First question is he going to be available? I mean, there is a real chance that he is not out of San Francisco at the end of this season. He is under contract through 2022. So there's 1 year left on his deal at $26 million as a cap hit next year. And just for the sake of the conversation, Derek Carr's number is way smaller than that. He's got 1 year left on his deal at $19 million, which is a huge bargain. And there's nobody that wouldn't want Derek Carr, I don't think, at $19 million. The problem is you got to pay him when you bring him in, because you're not trading for someone to rent them for 1 year. So this is effectively what we call like a sign-and-trade. You're getting a contract in place with his agent, then you pull off the trade, giving up whatever it would take to go get them. We could talk about the compensation in a moment. But both of these guys are in a similar boat, Danny, where they have 1 year left on their current contracts. I think Carr would cost more money because he's had more success in the NFL. But Jimmy G, we could start with, is interesting because I'm not saying they won because of Jimmy G. In fact, you and I both know that's not the case. They won in spite of him in some ways. Yesterday, interception, no touchdown, 67 rating, 16 completions. Started sharp and was ice cold by the end of the game. But if they knock off Green Bay somehow, whether he plays well or he plays like he just did, and they run for 100 yards with Mitchell and 80 yards for Samuel, and they get a couple takeaways, and they win an ugly 20-17 game, doesn't it get to a point where it's going to be hard to justify, with 1 year left on Jimmy G's deal, moving on from him to go back to Lance, who by all accounts is not your prototypical top five pick because he played at a Dakota State with so little experience? They could easily just run it back with him next year.
And that becomes likely the further they go, right? If they lose,
where's that line, do you think, where it's like, if they get there, Jimmy G is staying?
Great question. I think if they beat Green Bay. I think if they beat Green Bay, because that's an upset. It is. I mean, San Francisco matches up pretty well because their style and everything else. It depends on, you know, if Bosa is healthy. But to me, if they beat Green Bay and are in the NFC Championship game, I think now you're basically saying, how could you turn away from him, right? I mean, Kyle Shanahan probably doesn't have a lot of interest in doing a project. But if I'm the organization, I'm going to the project. I want that high ceiling. I want that star. I invested all the different things. I need him to get as good as possible.
But hang on
for one more year with Jimmy J.
That's Kyle's decision. It's got to be in any good organization. When you say Kyle probably .. and then you say, but if I'm the organization, who? What are you, the owner? Or what do you mean by that? GM? You're going to tell the head coach, who's the play caller, who's around the quarterbacks every day, who knows more about his offense than anyone else, that it's Trey Lance time? Why wouldn't he just make that decision?
Because I'm moving on for Jimmy Garoppolo. Like right now, that's the safety net. You're okay with Jimmy. You probably have a lot of work to do with Trey Lance.
But what if Kyle says,
my plan going forward?
Hey, Danny York. Jed York is their owner, so you'll be Danny York here.
Okay, Danny York. Yeah.
We made the Super Bowl with him once, and in this example that we're carving out, I'm now back in an NFC Championship game. This is our best path. Now, maybe they like Trey Lance or they like what they've seen. I have to imagine, based on the little things that I've heard and then also just the usage this year, that they don't think he's anywhere near being able to play. He doesn't even get into these games for like a look-see. They're not even designing packages, right? I mean, we all remember what this conversation was at the beginning of the year, Danny, how they were going to like include him and incorporate him a bunch. We don't even really see that. I guess my point is, what I would do is I would go to Kyle and say, is Trey Lance ready to be a full-time starting quarterback? If the answer is no, you got to stick with Jimmy G, right?
Here's where I'm coming from. I hear your question. I'm just out of the Jimmy G business. He's not any good. They win in spite of him. I'm doing better. I've got a guy internally I spent a trillion things on, so I would try to work that angle. I'm trading Jimmy Garoppolo this offseason regardless. I'm removing the temptation from Kyle Shanahan. Your energy is to be focused on this draft pick. And if we find out he can't do it, I think you can find another guy in the Jimmy G tier. You can find anybody to run all their bootlegs and the dump-offs and the handoffs and flip it to Deebo Samuel a couple times. You could find anybody to go 16
next offseason. When you move on from Jimmy G, you can find someone like Jimmy G.
I'm saying, if you go through all your OTAs and your different things, and you're like, you know what, Trey Lance is 2 years away. We made a bad investment. You could find anybody to check it down to George Kittle and go 16 for 25 for 170 yards. Anybody, there's 1,000 guys that can do that.
He was one of the highest rated quarterbacks via PFF for a stretch of weeks. One of the highest rated quarterbacks via quarterback rating, not my favorite metric, but just as an aside, this season for like a 6-week stretch where he didn't turn the ball over and was really efficient. Maybe we disagree a little bit on Garoppolo. Sounds like you think he's terrible.
Yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan makes it, and Jimmy Garoppolo screws it up sometimes. Like just the numbers, I think he's so limited. Just a guy to me.
It would be super hard, I would have thought, for anyone to make it sound like I like Jimmy Garoppolo, because I am not a Jimmy G guy at all. But I like him, it sounds like, way more than you do. I mean, I think he is an upgrade over Taylor Heineke. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay, so that's good. I mean, he's not a backup. I would say he's somewhere around, you know, we talk about this a lot, like where do you rank him in the league? I would say he's probably somewhere around the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, something like that.
Instinctively, somewhere between 20 and 23, something like that. I'd have to write them all down, but to me, he's in that,
okay,
you know, that Teddy Bridgewater tier, that journeyman, jag, just a person who happens to be in a great... He's happened to be in two amazing situations, and we're like, man, that guy looks incredible. He's just hanging out with supermodels every day.
That's true. He's also a supermodel, by the way.
He's also
really
good-looking
guy.
Himself, yeah.
Your last point's great. It's true. Patriot situation, 72 and sunny. San Francisco with Kyle, 71 and sunny. I mean, absolutely true. If you're saying, though, he's a top 20-ish, 20 to 22 quarterback in the league, those guys aren't available in the offseason. So that's we've learned that. I mean, they you can't get that guy. If you do, we're talking about it with Jimmy G, you're trading things you don't want to trade. You're paying them what you don't want to pay. So they're not replacing him with a guy as good. If they move on from him, it's going to be because it's the Trey Lance show, and there's no coming back from that. That said, that's a secondary conversation of whether or not he leaves. So let's say they lose to Green Bay. And after the game they just had against Dallas with the late fourth quarter pick that he threw, let's say he's just okay or worse against Green Bay and they lose. I actually think he will be available. You?
I would instinctively say that without knowing the situation. Like every time I read or see anything, it's let's not count out the idea that Garoppolo may be back, like even as of now.
Well, he did the thing with Tracy Wolfson yesterday. I was surprised. I don't know if you heard her reporting during the game. She was doing the this is his last game thing. Like Jimmy G's known for weeks. This could be his final game in San Francisco, and he's taking his time to talk to all his teammates. Like she made it seem like he thinks whenever they lose this year, particularly if it was yesterday, he's out. And I like we said, if they keep winning, that could change.
That could change. But, so I actually didn't catch that, so that's a good data point to have. So I'll say yes. I'll say if they lose to Green Bay, his time is over.
So, and we already found out that you are out on the idea of Jimmy G completely.
100%. I have no interest. I wouldn't trade a thing.
So you wouldn't trade anything for him?
Mm-mm.
Man, okay. That's interesting. I think he's better than Taylor Heinicke. And my goal this offseason is to get better. That's it. I just want to be better at the quarterback position by any means necessary. Jimmy G at $26 million is a good little rate, I think. That is fine for me. I would pay him that. I don't want him nearly as much as I want Derek Carr. I also would tell you I'd rather have any of the three quarterbacks that get linked in the first round of the top 15 teams over Jimmy G. And I don't know if any of them are going to be good. But the rookie deal that comes with the upside of Matt Corral, the upside of Sam Howell, the upside of Kenny Pickett or whatever, any of those guys at number 11, I would take over Jimmy Garoppolo at $26 million next year, extending him beyond that, trading assets to get him. The problem is I don't know if I can get any of those guys at 11. That's going to be a really complicating factor to all this for Washington as we work our way through this. How are they going to know for sure if they can get one at 11? Because I don't want to trade up for any of these guys. These dudes don't look like the kind of guy you trade up and mortgage your next two drafts for so that you're sure you get him at number 4 like San Francisco did, by the way, with Trey Lance. I think that was probably a mistake. We'll see if he ends up being really good or not. But if you can guarantee me, which isn't how it works, that I'll get one of those QBs at 11, I'll take that guy on a rookie contract over Garoppolo on an extension. But how sure are we that they're going to get one of those quarterbacks there?
Not very. That's the variable. It's a tricky spot, right? If you were top 5, you'd think you'd have a great chance of getting one of those quote-unquote three guys, whoever your third happens to be. If you like Malik Willis as a project, or you know, you think the world of Sam Howell, somebody that you mentioned that came in with a lot of preseason hype that didn't necessarily deliver, I don't know. But if you feel like you can get one of those dudes, that's, to me, the play. That is where I would roll the dice instead of investing both draft picks and huge salary cap allotments to a guy in trade.
All right, so 1 to 10 interest in Garoppolo, you're a 0, you're a 1.
The least number possible. So if I'm on the scale 1 to 10, it's a 1.
Okay. I would say I am a 4.5. I want it to be below 5 because I need it to be known this is not what I want to do. But where is Taylor Heinicke your starter in week 1 next year on that scale? Because for me, that's below 4.5. Like, if my choices are running this back with Heinicke and I'm not doing anything at quarterback this offseason, or I'm drafting some guy in the 3rd or the 4th round who's going to sit around all season behind Heinicke, that's all below trading for Garoppolo, which is not what I want to do, but that's a 4.5. And then the Heinicke plan would be a 2.
Yeah, the Heinicke doctrine. It's very low. I guess it's slightly more than trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll call it a 1.1 if I'm even allowed decimal points. But just for the sake of argument, I'll say that's a 2. But I have no interest in that either.
But if you're in the room, you're at the table, and yep, we're all sitting around, and they go, all right, Danny, here it is. We're trading for Jimmy G or we're starting Heinicke next year. You're starting Taylor Heinicke.
If I have to choose between the two, yes.
Oof. All right. Good enough.
Which is a terrible place to be, and everyone who's brought me that proposition should be canned. Right. Those are our options. Turn in your key cards.
I'm just trying to slot all this into a pecking order here. Mm-hmm. All right, so the other guy then that's available is Derek Carr in a hypothetical world where the Raiders move on from him. Now, I need to say, I don't think they should. I don't think they will. It makes absolutely no sense, in my opinion, that the Raiders would move on from Derek Carr with just 1 year left at an incredibly reasonable rate, by the way. His 19.8 cap hit is one of the biggest bargains at the quarterback position. Nothing about all of the talk that he's going to be a trade chip that teams can come after makes any sense to me. So I don't think Derek Carr will be available. Any thoughts from you on whether or not it's going to happen?
It is a puzzling thing. I mean, because Gruden was in charge of everything. He's gone, and now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, Mike Mayock is totally in charge. And I've got no idea which way, you know, the wind is blowing for them. I get the sense they would like to do better. I have no information on that. This is just me kind of outside looking in. I'm sure my bias kind of against Derek Carr is influencing that. But I like a lot of how they've built their roster. I like a lot of their team. And I think they need that superstar the way everyone else kind of does. So I get the sense that maybe they'll try to use that as another kind of Khalil Mack trade to maybe kickstart their their campaign to go get somebody. But again, I don't have there's no evidence. I haven't read anything that makes me definitively say, oh yeah, they're moving on from Derek Carr. I'm guessing they will, but again, you can hear my voice go up there. I really don't know.
What bias do you have against Derek Carr that you just mentioned?
I think he's just a guy. I think he's pedestrian. I think he's a less productive Kirk Cousins. And what happened is he's likable. So when everybody was killing him, there's like this crusade to say, wait a minute, he's being beaten up unfairly. And now he was underrated before. Now he's become overrated. He needs to settle back into the, he's fine. He's better than
where
we
have. Where is he in your 32 quarterbacks in the NFL?
17, 18-ish,
maybe? Oh, guy, you cannot name 17 quarterbacks better than Derek Carr. I want you to try to put the list together during the break.
No problem.
I would be really surprised if you can come up with 17 quarterbacks that you would rather have quarterback your team this season than Derek Carr. That would impress me. 18th, really? That's pretty impressive. That's amazing. I will look forward to hearing that list. I am very interested in Carr. I think he is a consistent 4,000-yard, upper 20s touchdown in a pass-first offense, year-in, year-out quarterback who gives you a chance every single week. You'd be back in the Cousins bucket that Washington was in 4 years ago. It's not a bucket that people enjoyed being in then. I don't know that they want to get back into that bucket. But where they're at now is way worse, which is you have worse quarterback play. You have a bad quarterback situation. You normally play three or four in any one season. And I think that's maybe a big disconnect between me and a lot of fans in town and a lot of listeners. And we could take calls from you guys at 800-636-1067. And it sounds like maybe you're in this camp, too, where I think a lot of people often want to hit a home run. In a ballpark where home runs aren't going to get hit. There aren't home runs available to you. Everyone wants to swing for the fence, and they're going, I don't want an okay quarterback. I don't want a good starter who's not great. I don't want a guy who's not going to make me a favorite to win the Super Bowl when he comes in here. I keep hearing that. Derek Carr doesn't make you a Super Bowl team. I just got to tell you, no one you're bringing in here makes you a Super Bowl team. And on paper, nobody you're bringing in here looks like they're going to make you three or four wins better. If that's the goal, then while adorable and cute, it's a losing battle. It's a losing proposition. But the way I'm viewing this is, let's get a lot better at quarterback. Right now, it's unacceptable. Let's get to acceptable. And if I got to pay for pretty solid, I'll pay for pretty solid. Because that, when you were doing that, you were 9-7. You were 8-7-1. You were constantly, if not for a missed field goal here or there, you're making the playoffs a couple straight seasons. Let's see if you can go on a magical carpet ride. You get the pick six and you win the playoff game. But I don't think most people want to be there. I think most people are hoping, well, let's draft this guy and he'll become our superstar.
Okay. Yeah, that's the hope.
Cool.
That's the hope. I mean,
is Kenny Pickett that guy? Is Sam Howell that guy? I don't know.
Probably not, but to a
bet
lot
you
of
they
us,
aren't.
And me included, it's worth a shot. And like the known commodity of, yeah, you'd be absolutely better at that spot. Of course you would be. But being just a little bit better is not what a lot of folks want. Some people want incremental improvement, and then we'll sort of see what happens. I get that approach. To me, the whole point is to be great, not to see if we can be okay. I want my Herbert. I want my Joe Burrow.
Not out there.
We don't think so, but we didn't think Pat Mahomes was. We didn't think a lot of these guys that have gone in various drafts were, and they probably won't be. But that's worth a shot to me.
Yeah. We also disagree, I think, on the player sometimes, too, because when you say okay or jag, I disagree with that. Unless you're saying you could be a jag and be, like, just outside of the top 10 in the league. Because one thing we do when we evaluate quarterbacks a lot of the time, I think we do put players in categories of, are they elite? Are they just okay? Are they mediocre? And, like, you could be mediocre, I guess, and be the ninth best quarterback in the NFL, according to a lot of people, right? So,
right, yeah.
How many quarterbacks are there in the league that are actually any good? Like, everyone's looking for something that doesn't exist. I guess that's my big frustration. Everyone wants Justin Herbert. There's been one guy who's done what Justin Herbert's done coming out of college in 2 years ever. It's Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow was a 1-1 pick who had a year at LSU no one had ever had before. Washington doesn't pick first. They pick 11th. There's not a guy who in the SEC just had the year that Joe Burrow had. They're not out there. We're just chasing ghosts. We're drafting dudes who were in college for 5 years and had four nubby years and then were great the final year. We're drafting guys who got hurt in a bowl game and have checkered resumes, but I guess if you haven't seen them yet, so the hope is maybe they're way better than everyone thinks. Yeah, that's tantalizing. The percentages would say more often than not, players that you draft aren't just going to be a lot better than everyone anticipates, just picking them apart and looking for every flaw. 800-636-1067 is the number. We saw Jimmy G throw a terrible pick, throw a really bad, should have been interception earlier in the game, kind of was Jimmy G-ing it up. They got a playoff win. Carr was probably better than him in a playoff loss, threw the pick at the end of the game trying to come back, got his team down to the goal line. Any interest in either of those guys, and do you think either or both will be available? Get to some calls next, some reaction from you guys, Gambit DC listener lines on Grant and Danny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan reacting to Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr's performances this weekend. They might both be available. Question for you guys, 800-636-1067. Do you think they will be? And if so, would you be interested in trading for one or the other? Kevin's in Arlington. Kevin, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Happy MLK Day. So I think you said it earlier, Grant, when you made the comparison of Carr to Cousins. In fact, I remember I went to that early 2017 game, Sunday night game between the Raiders and the Skins at the time, and Kirk got the better of Derek that night. But I think where he's better than Garoppolo, especially, is Derek is a talented downfield thrower. And I also think with both of these guys, I think they're good in the locker room. I think they're good leaders. I think their teammates believe in them. And I think that might have been a deficit for Cousins. But to me, I see Garoppolo as more of an Alex Smith type, and I see Derek Carr as more of a Cousins type. But what I want is not that binary choice. I want Garoppolo to go all the way to the Super Bowl. Kyle loves him, and I want them to give consideration to trading Trey Lance for three number one.
I know.
That's what I want.
Three number ones for Trey Lance.
I'll do
Jesus.
It. And Grant, one day, we're going to you know, I call all the time.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about him. I'm total mark for Trey Lance. You're going to see it. It's just not time yet, but it's coming.
I hear you. I got nothing against Trey Lance. I've never seen the guy play. Okay.
Yeah, it's exciting because we haven't seen it yet. Right. I have no idea.
I watched him play one time in college. He didn't play particularly well. He was amazing before that in college. I wasn't watching him. I'm not some scout who's watching quarterbacks a year before they get drafted. But I've gone back. I've watched the I won't call it film, the highlights. I mean, yeah, it's super impressive. I think it's a nice little skill set. I haven't seen it, so the 3-1s is a little bit crazy to me. And we're not, if you're just jumping in the car, we're not saying Jimmy G versus Carr. I mean, the point is, are you interested in either of those things? Like, I'm interested in both more than I am rolling with Heineke. If I was doing a pecking order, Carr's my number one seed. Then I would say drafting a guy at 11. Then I would say Jimmy G. Then I would say rolling with Heinicke again next year. I get the sense, Danny, you'd rather have drafting someone over even Carr.
Yeah, I'd rather draft over either of those two guys we mentioned. If somehow one of those superstars was willing to come here, was available, if you're already going to be spending that huge amount of resources to go get one of these other two guys that we're mentioning, I'd rather go a little bit further, get the superstar, and then know. Short of that, I'm playing the draft game and hoping to be great.
Larry's in Ashburn. Larry, you're on G&D. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Doing great, man.
Hey, yeah, I just want to let you know that Jimmy G is out of there regardless. One, he's going to have $25 million against the cap next year, and we need to think about signing Bosa and Samuel to free up some of that cap space. And also, the 49ers, they want to get some trade capital back for their investment in Trey Lance. If they wait till the end of the contract, they're going to get nothing. But if they trade him in this offseason, you know, who knows, maybe they get a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder, maybe a third rounder. I think if he wins in Green Bay, that just increases his value, and the 49ers will be very thankful.
It's actually an interesting point. I think everything you're saying makes a ton of sense and is probably correct, Larry. My only rebuttal would be, or question, I guess, more than a rebuttal. What if they don't see it in Lance yet? Like, what if they don't think he's ready? What if they drafted him hoping by the end of this year he'd be ready? And right now, I'm just throwing this out there, Truth Serum Kyle Shanahan goes, we'll go 6-11 if we start Trey Lance next year. Then what?
Yeah, we also have a lot of players on one-year deals, especially like in our secondary. Our secondary is a mess, and also on offense as well. I mean, it's going to be a rebuilding period anyway with Trey Lance. I say just rip off the Band-Aid and start with Trey.
So just kind of hit detonate if you, like, this is a one-year run and then reload. I just think they're close enough that he's not going to want to take that step back. All right, Danny, you said Derek Carr is the 18th best quarterback in the NFL. I challenge you to find 17 better. I can't wait to hear this list because I've got him somewhere around, it depends on the year, but in that 10 to 12 range normally. So that's a big gap. So I want to hear who the 17 quarterbacks are you'd rather have than Derek Carr.
So I came up with 15 that I would rather have. I think there are a couple that you could make the case he's better than right now, eye of the beholder, but there are a dozen that I've got feel that's pretty definitive. So I'll just
because
that
makes sense. Because to me, if you would have said, we wouldn't have even been doing this. If you're like, 12 to 13, like whatever. 17, 18 is like, that's lower than a lot of people would say. So, all right, go ahead.
So here are my names, no particular order. Brady, Herbert, Burrow, Rodgers, Stafford, Allen, Prescott, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson.
Hang on, slow down.
Mahomes. I think those 12 are definitive.
Who are the next ones after Prescott?
Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Pat Mahomes.
Okay, that's the 12.
Yeah, 12 where I go, if you want to debate that, that's
yeah,
I think
you could debate year in, year out, him and Cousins based on the season, but fine. Okay, so
on production or anything. But so the next three I think people are going to quibble with, and I think that's fine. I'd rather have Carson Wentz with the numbers that he has put up when he's been in decent situations.
No, thank you.
This year, for example, 27 touchdowns, 7 picks. Infinitely better year than Carr just had in terms of that kind of production.
When was that? You were talking about just this year, the 27-5. Handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. All right, next.
Yeah, with, you know, not a great passing targets there. Let me see, where was my list again?
And by the way, I'm saying no way to that one personally, but keep going.
Yeah, I'm saying definitely that one. Mac Jones, I'd rather have.
That's ridiculous. Next.
It just had an incredible rookie season. I'd rather have
him. Incredible?
Yeah.
There was nothing incredible about Mac Jones' rookie season.
What bothered you about it?
Nothing bothered me. He had 20 touchdowns and 13 picks. I mean, that's not incredible. Justin Herbert had an incredible rookie season.
Sure, you just said before, that's the greatest one anyone's ever seen. This was basically
agreed, but I'm saying it's a run first defense, really good situation, caretaker, quarterback situation. He's not. I disagree that it's an incredible rookie season. But okay, and what's the next one?
Rookies don't usually do that. He stood out in this rookie class. Would have been rookie of the year if Jamar Chase didn't, you know, sort of wreck the game. So that's that one. I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill. Better numbers, 3-year averages, including a 40 total touchdown season last year overall, as basically thrown for the same yards per attempt. He led the league in adjusted yards per attempt a couple seasons ago. The only thing that Carr's led the league in is fumbles over the course of his career since he got on the scene in 2014. You're basically talking about a 4,000-yard, 23-24 touchdown, double-digit pick guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. again, it's a Cousins light type statistical profile. He's pretty good. But to me, I'd rather have all of those other guys. And I'd rather
have
probably
more,
because
you've given me
upsets.
15 so far.
Yeah, that's what I said. I got 15 that okay. I'd rather have.
So right now you got him at 16th if he's behind Mac Jones and Carson Wentz.
Yeah. So top, I said 17. So top of my head, I came up with 15. So put him at 16. So I was off by one.
All right. And I think three of those are insane, but that's just me.
You're insane with this whole Derek Carr thing.
That he's the 12th or 13th best quarterback in the league? Okay.
Well, the idea that you'd rather have him than those other guys.
Him or Mac Jones next season? Yeah, there's nothing insane about that. Him or Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz has not been good in 4 years.
He was pretty decent this year.
He was fine. The Colts are probably going to try to replace him.
We're talking about Oakland probably replacing Derek Carr, too.
Because right? They just fired their coach, and they might blow up their whole organization. The Raiders aren't on the verge of winning a Super Bowl.
Real good ones aren't available. There's the whole point. You keep saying this yourself. The really good ones aren't really available.
Agreed.
So I'm not talking about world beaters. But, again, if you go back and look at the numbers that Carson Wentz has put up in far worse situations, impressive to me. I think he's the guy that gets beat up. He's the guy that we should be paying more attention to in terms of who's overlooked and overrated by the league.
Let's go to Bobby in Warsaw. Bobby, you're on G&D. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I'm just sitting here listening to y'all, and I have to say I'm very lukewarm on either Derek Carr or Garoppolo. Carr went down, my estimation, with his last game. I didn't see where he was playing much better than Heineke could. I think going with the draft right now, and hoping that Brendan Armstrong of Virginia declares this year, because he's going to have a new coach, and I think he's losing most of his offensive line and maybe a receiver too. The defense wasn't very good anyway.
Bobby's in on Armstrong, by the way.
He's our Armstrong.
I'm pretty sure he's referenced him like three times now, where he's like, they got to get this left-hander from UVA. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Randy Mueller, former GM's been an executive year in the NFL in the past, going to join us at 6 o'clock. We're taking your calls. Would you have interest in Jimmy G if he's available? Derek Carr if he's available? You're listening to the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, and you are listening to G&D. We're taking you to 6:30. Randy Mueller on Washington's quarterback situation, which we're discussing right now. Plus, tonight's NFL playoff game on a Monday night, something that doesn't happen. Hasn't happened since 1988, but it will this evening. Cardinals at the Rams. Let's go to the Gambit DC listener lines. Ahmed is in Poolsville. What's up, buddy? How are you?
How's it going, guys? Grant, I think Danny needs to turn in his key card. I don't know what he's been drinking, and you might need to drug test him. How are we comparing Carr to Cousins? Cousins has two receivers, a great O-line, a running back. What does Carr have? Carr has had nothing for years. Then he wants to say Tannehill's better. Again, Tannehill has receivers, has a running back, offensive line. I mean, how are we even comparing these guys? I would take Carr in a heartbeat I would even have two first rounders.
Yeah, I would trade two ones for Carr. Absolutely, no doubt about
it. And you can enjoy that for Tannehill. He had AJ Brown broke out last year when he had 33 touchdowns and seven rushing touchdowns for a total of 40. I guess if you want to say he had AJ Brown, so we don't count his numbers all of a sudden. Again, Derek Carr throws to the best receiving tight end alive, either he or Travis Kelce, you know, when he's around and available. It's not as if they've had nothing there for that long.
No, but Tannehill this year, without Derrick Henry, we saw it.
He struggled this year.
It was Miami Tannehill again. He threw for 3,700 yards, which is nothing, 21 touchdowns and 14 picks. He lost them two games, throwing a bunch of interceptions in the second half of the season. Like, that's what Ryan Tannehill, and I, by the way, I'm not an anti-Tannehill guy. I think he's somewhere in the, 15 to 18 range, whatever. But, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to say he's better than Carr, but I don't think that's the craziest one you said. The Mac Jones one is a tough one to get past. Let's go to Jake in Herndon. Jake, you're on G&D. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, so buddy.
Yeah, I think Carr is levels better than Garoppolo. I don't think it's really close. I mean,
I think we'll all agree with that. Danny, you're in on that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I think Garoppolo sticks.
And, I mean, when it comes to whether you're going to get Garoppolo, to me, I'd rather stand pat with Heineke than go spending money on Garoppolo so we can have another, what are we going to improve by a win or two, miss the playoffs likely with Garoppolo? I mean, it's not worth spending the money on somebody who's, going to get 4,000 yards more, a couple more touchdowns, and just a slightly lower interception rate. I mean, to me, it seems like it's kind of Carr or bust because you can't really draft anybody this year. There's nobody available. It doesn't seem, at least. You don't have anybody who's exceptionally standing out. And also, Jimmy Garoppolo is basically a $25 million Heineke to me.
Appreciate you, buddy.
An argument there.
I think he's better than Heineke. I mean, settle down.
Well, you're basically talking about, 24 times the cost.
Agreed.
For marginally better production, which I just wouldn't do.
Maybe, and I'm not saying I'm right on this. This is what I think, though. At the quarterback position, to some extent, there is a binary, there is a requisite level of decency, or else nothing else matters. You do not have it with Taylor Heineke. You would have it with a Garoppolo, who we've seen get into the second round of the playoffs on teams now multiple times in the last few years. I'm not saying he's the reason why, but my point is, I promise you Taylor Heineke will never be the quarterback of a team that does that. You could drop him onto the Chiefs or whatever team you want to right now. That's not going to happen. There's just a bar that you have to clear before I even start thinking about anything else at quarterback. Do I have a chance with this guy for 18 weeks? I don't think they do with Heineke. And even if we say $26 million is too much for Garoppolo, okay, fine. $30 million is too much for Carr, whatever. At least with those guys, you've cleared that bar. And I don't know if I'm making any sense, Danny, but I try to keep reiterating that because I think that is part of where I'm disagreeing with maybe a lot of people in the fan base is just I don't think a lot of people view it that way of like what they're doing, they're not at that requisite bar yet. I need to get over that bar. That's just how I view it. I think for a lot of people, it's like, well, let's just keep doing this and see what happens, or maybe we'll swing for the fences on a home run. I'm just trying to get out of the unacceptable quarterback tier. They're in that.
I get it.
I want to get out of that. I want to have a guy that you aren't going to lose the game before it starts because he's just not going to give you a chance, which is the case too often with what they have right now.
I get it. And I think it's very reasonable. To me, I'll get beat up as long as I have to. I'll never do the, I'll settle for this journeyman. Like the Ryan Fitzpatrick tier, I would just never do. The only time I play one of the Teddy Bridgewaters, the Ryan Fitzpatricks, this journeyman carousel that we both hate being on is when my real franchise quarterback is out for the season. I don't do that. They've done it multiple times over, and we've ended up in this mess. My solution is shoot the moon. Try to be awesome, because the whole point of this exercise is to see if you could be one of these teams that's playing
which means drafting a guy in the first round, right?
That's the whole, or again, one of the superstars, but that's all pie in the sky.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
I'm just trying to deal with realistic stuff. You're saying draft the guy.
Yeah, that's the most realistic situation.
And which
you know what's probably
going to
happen? It's not going to work. It's probably not going to work out. Then you try that again. I just can't do the, hey, this is better than we have, right?
You know what it comes down to, honestly? Because it's all philosophical. It's not like we're debating two plus two is. It comes down to me as like a bird in the hand, so to speak. You're trying to do better with this unknown.
Absolutely.
Than what is very solid, you know, good. And mm-hmm. and part of the issue, I guess, is we quibble on how good is, right, with Garoppolo or Carr, what have you. But the point is, I've got a thing where I'm not, like, people will say, you'll never win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr. I don't believe that that's true. I don't view football that way. I wouldn't even say that about Garoppolo, who I don't think is that good. I don't view football that way. I think you can win with those guys. I don't think it's easy. But let's stop pretending like it's easy to just turn Kenny Pickett into that Super Bowl winner,
Super
too.
Yep.
That it's easy
it's
to just...
It's a lottery ticket.
Well, we'll just take a guy at 11 and he'll be that guy. Good luck, man. And there's also another element of this, too, which is, do you even trust this group to get this right? Like, they traded a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen, who they've decided at some point isn't even as good as the guy they signed off the couch that they could have signed at any point. How do we know that they're going to get this right? The one time they've gotten quarterback right, they were picking number one overall, and my mom would have made the pick.
Yeah, I don't trust them to make trades either. That's, I don't know what you do.
A guy that has made trades and made picks, Randy Mueller, former GM, joins us next. Grant and Danny welcoming you back for the stretch run on the Fan. We're about 2 hours and 15 minutes away from the kickoff of the sixth and final wild card round game. Cardinals, Rams, rubber match in the NFC West. Arizona won the first game in L.A. L.A. won the second game decidedly out in Arizona. Now they've got a matchup in Los Angeles for round three. The Cardinals, oddly enough, much better on the road this year than at home. 3.5-point spread. The Rams, of course, the hosts are favored. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Randy Mueller, we've had on the show several times before. Always great insight from the front office perspective. He was the executive of the year in the NFL in 2000. Former National Football League general manager with the Saints and the Dolphins joins us. Randy, thanks for some time here in D.C. Let's get to the breaking news, though, which is it sounds like there's a GM change happening in Vegas. Mike Mayock's Raiders made the playoffs. Rich Bisaccia's future's up in the air. A lot of people talking about whether or not he'll come back. But it sounds like whether he does or he doesn't, it'll be the decision of the next general manager maybe with Mayock out. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised by that, to be honest with you. I think Mike Mayock was the beneficiary of, you know, John Gruden being the head coach, and he was John's guy. So I think moving forward, maybe they want more of a traditional background for their GM. I could sure see Rich hanging on to his job. I think he did a great job. But that team, as good as it was this year and as far as Rich Bisaccia could pull it, they still got some building to do. They've got some retooling to do, especially on defense, and some things that they have not done well in the past they need to improve on. So I'm not surprised by that. I think it's a really good job. I think there will be people lining up for it. Mark Davis is a very supportive owner, always gives you everything you want with regard to financial backing and support. So there'll be some guys lining up for that job, no question. I think Rich did a more than adequate job and would be a great choice to hang around to be the head football coach, though.
What does it mean for Derek Carr? Because you touched on it, Randy. There's a lot of pieces to like on that Vegas Raiders roster. That's a good situation, both coach and general manager. But what might it mean for their signal caller who's on the last year of a really affordable team-friendly deal?
Yeah, I really can't see him going anywhere or them doing anything. Everybody wants to pick a different lane with a quarterback, but who are you gonna get? That's the big question. And I couldn't see a new GM. I couldn't see Mayock. I couldn't see Rich Bisaccia, anybody moving on from Derek Carr after the year that he had this year. I think he progressed. This is a guy that's really hitting his prime right now. And to even consider letting him go, you'd have to have a better option. And I just don't know that a better option is going to come up. And I guess it's one thing if you can get Aaron Rodgers in return, but I don't know that that's realistic. So I think you can see him probably staying, and whoever the next GM is, probably signing him to a longer-term extension. I think it makes sense.
Randy Mueller with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. If you count Bisaccia's job, where he was the interim head coach, and since they are at least interviewing other candidates, I think we need to. There are seven openings. Give me the couple that you think separate themselves as the best or if that tier's larger, how many, you know, go over deep you need to. And then the worst of those jobs where you'd be really buyer beware about becoming the head coach somewhere.
Well, I think it's kind of crazy where we've come to, because for the last 40 years, you could have probably said the Giants and the Bears are the two best, most secure, best supported jobs in the league. And guess what? They're not what they used to be, right? They're not our dad's Bears. They're not our dad's Giants. They've got issues, really struggling in New York right now to find their leadership. So those two jobs, I would have said a few years back, would have been at the top of the list. I don't know if I see that right now. I think the sleeper job in the whole mix, if you're a coach, is, and maybe it's not a sleeper, is Denver. Other than the ownership possible change, that's the only fly in the ointment. You're talking about a pretty good team, a pretty good roster, a solid GM and George Payton. All you need is a quarterback. And I know they've said that for the last couple of years, but George really hasn't had a chance to solve that yet. He will get it solved. I'm convinced of that. And I think that could be a good job. The other job that I don't hear much talk about is the Minnesota job. The Wilfs have been more than supportive of their people. They trust the football side once they hire them. I mean, Rick Spielman was there 16 years. So that goes a long ways toward being a stable situation. I think Minnesota could be a good job, too. I guess the ones I struggle with the most nowadays are really Jacksonville, obviously, is a mess. That winning percentage of 25% the last 10 years is not going to fly. They probably can't make enough change there to matter, right? They need to change their process, the way they view things, the way they make decisions. I just don't know that whoever you plug in as a head coach there is really going to matter. Seems to me like they have more change to make above that. They probably need a new face of the team, to be honest with you, and that to re-engage those fans, that might be what it takes. And I think that can be said for the Giants, too. They've struggled for so long. They've got to find a way to engage the fan base. It's entirely toxic and really hard right now for Giants fans. I don't know what they do short of, you know, finding one of these coaches who's at the near or end of his contract that's well thought of to come there. I just don't know what they're going to do. They've got to find a way to re-energize a fan base that is Giant, no pun intended, and that's easier said than done.
Longtime NFL exec Randy Mueller kind enough to join us here on Grant and Danny. All right, Randy, let's go through the teams that are actually still dancing when it comes to the postseason. Pull back 30,000-foot view. What was your headline? What's kind of your big story here of the Super Wild Card weekend so far?
Well, I think the Bills' annihilation of the Patriots is more than just a changing of the guard, right? You can say what you want about these other teams, but the quality of the play that they got from Josh Allen kind of sets them apart, in my opinion. I think they become a team to reckon with, and we're going to find out this week when they go to Kansas City, but I think Josh Allen now enters the fray as an MVP that's equal to Pat Mahomes. So I think that was a big takeaway for me, just the way that they manhandled the Patriots. That's more than one loss. That's a hard one because the Patriots have been riding the rookie quarterback in Mac Jones all season long, but the bad news is now they got to play Josh Allen twice a year for the next 10 years. So what are they going to do to match that? There is a big difference in talent between the Bills and the Patriots. The other one for me is the way the Cowboys kind of laid a big egg. To me, when the playoffs started, I thought Dallas had the best team on paper. They had the most talent, but that doesn't mean they play the best or they're going to go the furthest. And we found that out. It was a hodgepodge of mistakes, of miscommunication, of things just being screwed up. And the 49ers found a way to run the ball just enough. They took field goals. They set analytics aside. They got points when they could get points, and it ended up being enough. So I thought the disappointment was the Cowboys. Probably the Bills were the biggest winner on the weekend so far anyway. We obviously have the game tonight to look at as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. Randy, I want to take out a shovel with you, though, on the Cowboys for a second. McCarthy, Kellen Moore's play call at the end, Dak 6 years in with all the talent around him, struggles down the stretch here this year, and the disappointments in the postseason. You know, your thoughts on some of those main characters in this play that is the Dallas Cowboys year in and year out?
Yeah, I think the commonplace there is, it's really, to me, always been this. I think they have a culture problem. The culture is an issue. When you have a coach who's made his living running, calling plays, running his offense, and now he's in charge in a more CEO role like Mike McCarthy is, It just the dynamics are weird. I just have felt like, and maybe it's just me, he's been disconnected from what they've done, and I think it showed for the last 2 years. It's not his offense. He's not calling the plays. I was with Mike McCarthy in New Orleans. He was our offensive coordinator when I was a GM there, and we were really good. But he is a blue-collar, grinder, play caller, roll up his sleeves and get dirty type coach, and he doesn't get to do any of that with Dallas. So he's had to fit in what Jerry has going there, and I just don't think it's worked. So I think that's the big takeaway for me is culturally, do they have enough, you know, wherewithal to examine deep enough their flaws and try to fix it? I don't know about the boy wonder, Kellen Moore. I don't know if that's the, you know, if he's a leader of men. I don't see that right now. I think he's going to be a good coach. I don't think he's ready yet. And if they lose Dan Quinn, that's their biggest asset on the coaching side, in my opinion. So Dallas is in for a little reckoning here, and I think they're going to have to look deep to solve the problems.
Randy, I like just about everything about Denver. I like their roster construction. I like their weaponry. They're like a lot of teams, it seems like, just a quarterback away. Just go through the pros and cons maybe of that job. That division seems to be like a buzzsaw, you know, with Kansas City and the Chargers for the next several years. But Denver seems to be pretty attractive, no?
Denver's a very good job, and that's why I said I'd probably put it at the top because of that. I like their roster. I like their defense especially. They found ways to add players but yet acquire parts. You know, the trading of Von Miller for a couple draft picks, that hopefully pays dividends for them. Their offensive line with Mike Munchak coaching them, I think, is improving. It's still not there yet, but it will be. Their receivers are good. They have a couple good running backs. So they have players, there's no doubt. Somehow they just got to put it together to find a quarterback. And I know George Payton well enough to know he's been working on this for 6 or 8 months. He knew they didn't have the answers, but he was hoping to keep it together. And I think Vic Fangio did as good a job as he probably could. But I definitely think they're in a division now, though, they can make some hay. I think the Raiders and the Kansas City making the tournament this year, we'll see where the Raiders go. Kansas City's always going to be there. But the Chargers kind of laid an egg, so their spot is less than guaranteed. So I'm with you. I like Denver. I like where they're at. Like I said, the one thing that bothers me a little bit is this proposed or possible ownership change, and that sometimes begets too much change that comes with it. Hopefully they just leave the football part alone.
Randy Mueller was the executive of the year in the NFL in 2000. He's been a GM with the Saints and the Dolphins, and he was a high-ranking exec with the Chargers and the Seahawks as well. Joining us on Grant and Danny. GM us through, for lack of a better term, this offseason trying to find a quarterback for Washington. Let's say, hypothetically, Jimmy G's available, Derek Carr's available. We're kind of ruling out the possibility of Rodgers and Wilson because it's unrealistic. Would you try to trade for one of those guys? What do you think it might take? Would you just stand pat at 11 and take whatever quarterback is there for you? What would be your plan coming off of a year where Heinicke got exposed a little bit as likely a number two?
Well, I think they've got to be in on every deal. I think you guys have it pegged, but I think they've been in on every deal. They just haven't been able to put it together. Yes, to answer your question, I would be in on Derek Carr for sure. I'd probably be in on Jimmy G as well. 49ers have made it clear. They've picked a lane when they traded up to draft Trey Lance last year. I think Jimmy G's probably surpassed their expectations right now. So you'd have to take a look at him. I think he probably will be more affordable than Carr would. I think you'd have to give a couple first-round picks for Carr, to be honest with you. So I don't know that that's realistic. The only draftable quarterback that I see that is the answer, and I don't know how much of an answer we can put on any of these rookies now, is Kenny Pickett from Pitt. I don't think these other guys are going to figure in the mix at the end of the day. I'm not looking for 6-foot-tall guys that run around. I want a 6'3-plus pocket passer that can make all the throws, and Kenny Pickett's the only one for my money that does that. So I would hope that they're in the middle of that. I don't know that he's going to be there picking where they do, though. They may have to move up to get a guy like him. I just think for Ron's sake and really what they have going now, I guess entering year three, they might be better served if they can find a veteran guy. But I just don't know how good players don't, you know, get passed around, so to speak. And so I just think it's going to be hard. They may have no choice but to trade up in that draft and try to manufacture a Kenny Pickett window where they can get him.
Randy, we hear all the time, it's cliche at this point, right, where people always say it's a copycat league. I always want to pick the brain of guys that did it at the high level that you did. If you're one of the teams outside looking into the teams that are having success right now, what are you trying to replicate? What are you saying? You know what? I want some of that. To me, I watch Kansas City play. Everybody seems so fast. I just want that. I know that there are other ways to skin the cat, though. But what are the things that you as an exec would see and say, you know what, I got to get me some of that?
Well, that part of the game hasn't changed a lot. I mean, it's always been about speed on the perimeter, but it also comes back to offensive line and defensive line, and that's what you saw jump. That's what I saw jump out in me at the with the 49ers and Dallas game. I mean, the 49ers controlled the line of scrimmage. Dallas is supposed to have a good offensive line. 49ers pushed them around on both sides of the ball. I don't think you can go wrong with that. For years it seemed to work for me just fine drafting big guys or fast guys. And that's not to overcomplicate it, that's for sure. But you just can't have enough of those guys. And I think that's what I would want some of. I want more big guys on one side of that line or the other than the other team. And I want some guys that can run. The thing that speed does is it just changes the way people defend you, especially on the perimeter on offense. Defenses have to play you different if you've got a home run hitter or two. Because even if when you don't throw them the ball, they've got to respect the fact that that guy might run by you. So I just think that changes the whole mindset of how teams defense you when you have speed in your back pocket. Maybe Washington football team has that in Samuel. If he's ever healthy, he's kind of that kind of player. But as you know, he didn't play much this year, so they don't know. But finding fast guys, and that's why they go early in the draft, or big guys. And when I say big guys, I'm talking about five technique defensive ends or offensive tackles. Those are the premium positions in my mind. You just can't go wrong picking those guys or acquiring them in free agency.
Randy, we'll let you out with a thought on tonight's game, getting ready to kick off in 2 hours. 11-6 Arizona on the road, 12-5 L.A. Cardinals and Rams know each other well, both split their two games in the season series. 3.5-point favorites at home, the Rams. Total in the game is 49.5. What do you see when you look into the crystal ball?
I'm in on the Rams, I'll be honest with you. I think the Cardinals have been taking on water for the last month. They've lost 4 out of 5. Their quarterback's been up and down. He's been injured a little bit. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury's figured out how to make adjustments late in seasons yet. I just haven't seen enough of it. Seattle worked them over last week. I think the Rams are primed to have a big night. I think Matthew Stafford is going to prove to people what his talent really means to that team and to McVay. So I'm in on the Rams. I think they're their favorite for a reason, but I just see them as having a little more juice and different ways to score. I think having Akers back now allows them to run the ball. I just think they're a better team right now, and I think they've been there, done that, and that means something in the playoffs as well.
Randy, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great week, okay?
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Be well.
Thanks,
former executive of the year, Randy Mueller on Grant and Danny. I don't remember for confidence points picks if you're done for the week or if you have a play in this game, Cardinals-Rams. Do you, Danny?
Oh, buddy, this is a hotly contested week. So, Darris, Ryan, and I all have Arizona plus 3.5, okay? But we assigned a different point value to it. 3 for me, 4 for Darris, 5 for Ryan. If Arizona covers, Darris and I are now tied. If Arizona does not cover, I will have a 1-point lead over Darris.
Ooh, okay.
Major implications. And Ryan is in danger of having the vampire weekend,
yes.
Which is all blood red.
Ryan, you are 0-for-4 on your picks. I've got an 11-point week. Now, I'm already in the clubhouse. All 5 of my picks are in. This was the game I felt worst about picking, so I just left it, didn't even deal with it. So I don't have to worry about tonight. But you are on the verge. Now, this is your 5-point play, so you could completely salvage the week. You could still very much be in the mix to win the whole thing. But we came into this week tied for first place. Danny and Darris are obviously battling to stay out of the basement right now. If you go 0-for on a week where I go get 11 points in the playoffs, you're going to be in trouble.
I know. I don't
huge
know.
Huge game for you tonight.
Exactly.
I'm rooting Rams, baby.
Oh, thank you, Danny. No, I still feel confident in my guys, Cliff Kingsbury, DeAndre Hopkins coming back, so we'll see, but nothing has hit. I just want something. I just want to win. That's it. Just give me some confidence going into next week. That's all I want, and that's all I pray for.
Well, if I had to play this game, I would play the Rams. All 3 of you guys being on the Cardinals side stuns me. Not that it's a crazy pick, but 3 of you picked the game, and all 3 of you see it that way. I would have a hard time picking Arizona. I do love catching that 0.5, though, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 is big, Danny, because I could see, even if the Rams win it, come down to a field goal between 2 teams close in the division, If it was three straight up, I wouldn't like it nearly as much. But 3.5, I get what you guys are thinking.
Yeah, I do. Listen, it's Matt Stafford just maybe making one mistake or something as he's kind of done here down the stretch. One part is Arizona was so good on the road this year, including a win where they dominated these very same Rams. I know that was months ago. These are almost different teams now by that point. It's just shaky, though, because, again, it's not like Arizona was playing great down the stretch. This was the number one overall seed until
The Rams lose, by the way. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's a bigger disappointment than the Dallas Mike McCarthy fiasco.
It's the number one disappointment, and that's kind of what I'm going with here. I'm thinking of that. Like, they'll be puckered, they'll be tight because of all that pressure.
I just think they're too talented. Also, you said DeAndre Hopkins comes back. I don't think he's playing in this game, for the record.
Oh, he's not?
I don't think that was ever the plan.
I thought he was not.
Yeah. Last I heard, unless something changed, DeAndre Hopkins was not supposed to play tonight.
Well, I'm in trouble then.
Should you have maybe considered looking that up before you made your big pick or no?
It was a good point. I did look up the last time the Cardinals went to L.A. and they smoked him. But, I mean,
he was really good in that game.
DeAndre Hopkins was good, too.
He's a good player.
I don't know what I read. I thought I saw DeAndre Hopkins was coming back, but I guess I'm wrong, and now I feel even worse.
Tomorrow, and I'll push this. I wanted to do this today. We didn't get to it. I've got a bunch of burning questions out of this playoff round. Things like, should Rich Bisaccia keep the Raiders job, which I would say looks a lot worse now after they just blew out Mike Mayock. One name to keep an eye on, I saw Ben Standing tweet this, and he said this is purely speculative, but this was the first thing I thought about when I saw Mayock's out, and maybe that means Bisaccia could be out. Jim Harbaugh's not leaving Michigan for just any job, but if you listen to Mike Florio, and he's talking to someone close to Harbaugh, I'm guessing, because he's been going hard with this for a couple weeks. Harbaugh likes the idea of coming back to the NFL to try to win a ring where he felt like he had some unfinished business. I think he'd only come back where he could be the GM and the coach. So that would be a potential gig, I think, for him where he could do the Rivera thing where he runs everything.
And that's what he'd come back for, right? Because when you're the king snake at a major Division I university, everything runs through you. You are the GM. You are the head coach. You're everything. He would want that same kind of power and authority with an outrageous amount of money to leave Michigan.
Pressure on Kyler Murray tonight. Total at 255.5 for his passing yards. Matthew Stafford, you're out of Detroit, man. You got the talent. You got the weapons. You got the coach. Go get yourself a playoff win.
I'm at it.
Total at 274.5. Enjoy the game. Monday Night Football less than 2 hours away. First, though, right here on The Fan, overtime with our friend Craig Hoffman. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.